third day, according to scriptures, that he was seen of Peter, Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 of the brethren at the same time, most of whom alive today, though some have fallen asleep. The Bible says, but I tell you that we, though we are an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So the Bible puts a curse on anybody who would ever pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is being perverted by many cults and even in some so-called Christian groups. In 2 Corinthians 11:3 it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might bear with him. And so Paul had the fear that maybe getting a subtle diversion of the truth of Jesus Christ might get a foothold into a person's life. And if they believe one little doctrine in error, then they might move into a whole concept of erroneous non-truths. The whole counsel of God, to me, among other things, would include the true Christ, the true gospel, and the true eternal heaven. And I wanted to think about those three things, especially the true Christ being that Jesus Christ is Savior, and that Jesus is that Christ, and that the Savior Christ is God, the uncreated Son of God. And the Son has been from all eternity with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 17:2, Paul says, as the matter was, he went into them and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs suffer and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach to you, is Christ. See, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is who he is, the anointed one, the Messiah, Mashiach, the one who was promised as the Jewish Messiah that would come to be king of Israel and also savior of the world. So when we say Christ, we're not saying Jesus' last name. We're saying what he is, the Messiah, the savior of the world. Jesus is his given name that was given him by an angel to give to Jesus, but it means Jehovah's salvation. And so when we think of Jesus Christ, we must think of him for who he is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus didn't have brothers and sisters. God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him as the Messiah, as the Savior, should not perish but have everlasting life, the Bible tells us. And 1 John has always been one of my favorite scriptures. And in the beginning was the Word, being Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh. And if anyone preaches another Jesus, I fear for them. I fear the false doctrine of these cults. The Bible tells us that Jesus was eternal before he took himself on the form of a man. That means in his sonship as God's only son, he was eternal. And Isaiah says to us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Ages. And so he presents Jesus as the eternal Son of God. So the Mormons, for instance, teach Jesus was a spirit child of a heavenly father and mother, and that he had other heavenly spirit brothers, including Satan, which I said before. They also teach that a Mormon heavenly father was once a man of flesh. So what an erroneous doctrine to call God the Father was once a man of flesh, and he became God, and that it is within the potential of every obedient Mormon to become a God. like Jesus, and the Heavenly Father, having spirit children with eternal wives. See, this is a corruption. It's not in the Bible. This may be in the Book of Mormon, but it is not in the Bible that Jesus, that you're going to get to become a god and have a celestial wife and have spirit children. And this was written by their prophet, Lorenzo Snow. And so this isn't things we're just taking up and making up. But another one from this apostle, Orson Hyde, said, "Remember that God, our Heavenly Father, was perhaps once a child and mortal like we are, and rose step by step in the scale of progress, in the school of advancement, has moved forward and overcome until he has arrived at the point where he now is as God." I mean, if you start to believe these strange things, it's going to pervert the truth of the gospel of Christ. They even teach that Jesus was married. Not only was he married, but he was married to three different women. Mary Magdalene and Mary and Martha and Mary of Cana. And not only was he married to these women, but he had children before he was crucified. And that's not biblical. It's not written in the Bible. They're grasping, making this stuff. Anyhow, Joseph Smith found these golden tablets up in Elmira, New York. I mean, this is a... And people are pulled in these kinds of false doctrines. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was created by Jehovah as the angel Michael, Archangel Michael. So they believe that Jesus was nothing more than a created angel. And I don't know what else they believe, but it's just not true. I think about the Islamic belief in the Quran. It clearly states that the crucifixion of Jesus never happened. So Islam teaches that Jesus was not crucified. And so if Jesus was not crucified, then nobody paid with their blood for my sins. And if Jesus wasn't crucified, then he never died. And they say that he never died. And not only did he never die, that he never rose again. And if Christ be not risen, we are yet in our sins. It's a false truth. We can't say, well, you know, they can believe that they want to believe. We all believe in the same God. We don't believe in the same God. They believe in a false God. They believe in a false premise. You say, well, you know, maybe God makes concessions. And I'm not going to talk about the concessions that God makes. I just believe that you can't preach false doctrine and ever expect to get into the place that God is promising us. The Islamic faith is based on works. The Bible tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's the Savior that I serve. That's the mindset that I want to have. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that salvation comes through works and obeying their Jehovah's Witnesses' organizational rules. So if we are depending on rules to save us, I'm in dire straits. For I've broken a lot of rules. I've sinned a lot. I've done a lot of things that are sinful. My salvation is not based on my good works. It's based on Jesus Christ's blood shed at Calvary. Amen? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I have nothing to boast in save in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what I boast in. That's what I glory in, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for me. These cults preach a different heaven. Heaven is the dwelling place of God and the saints who are ultimately saved by the grace of Jesus Christ through faith in the blood of Christ alone. Islam, heaven is also called paradise. It's a garden of bliss and fruit. Rivers, maidens who are pure and holy, and carpets of cushions. Now this is in their writings. And there's no, I don't know how you get there, because you're not getting there through Jesus Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses, heaven is a place indwelt by God and the 144,000 elite Jehovah's Witnesses. And the LDSs are that Latter-day Saints, Mormons. There are three heavens in Mormonism. The lowest is the celestial heaven. The middle is terrestrial heaven. The highest is celestial heaven. Inside of the celestial heaven are three levels, with the uppermost being called the Church of the Firstborn. This is where Mormons obtain godhood. This is not written in the Bible. It's made up. It's not only that the cults that present false doctrines. I just give you a few of the false thoughts of so-called Christians. Those that preach, now I'm not saying they don't, these people don't present truth of Christ, but they mix it with diversions of the, we've talked about the prosperity gospel, that Christ came so that you could have all these great riches on earth. I do believe that God will supply all of our need according to riches and glory, but he hasn't come to save me so that I could have wealth on this earth. He saved me that I might have eternal life with him in heaven. That's what I'm looking for. That's the wealth that I desire. Or the feel-good gospel. Could you imagine going in a church where all they do is want to make you feel good? All I want to do, as I've said before, is make you feel rotten. So that you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus Christ. If I'm going to say, oh, you know, you're not so bad and the things you do aren't so bad, they're rotten. We're sinful, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. That's why we need our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we need the blood of Christ alone to save us. Some people preach a good works gospel. I find that in some Christian churches and Catholic churches, where they figure if you do a lot of good works, it's going to make you look good before God. And the more good works you do, and the more you attend church, and the more you give, you're going to get a place with God, and he's going to let you into heaven. That will never wash. When I stand before God Almighty, it's not going to be my good works that gets me in. It's going to be the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm coming in because he died for me, not because I did anything good. All my good works are as filthy rags if I depend upon them to bring me eternal life. It is only the blood of the Lamb of God. Some people have a misconception of grace. They believe that all they have to do is come up to an altar, say a few words, and they're in. And then they can go out and live any kind of life they want to. I've told you this story before. When I was in college, and a young lady told me that she was going to a certain party, which I knew was a very immoral place where she was going. And she was telling me, you know, she can do anything she wants to, drink, have sex, do all this. I said, I thought you told me that you were a Christian. I am, but I believe once I'm saved, there's no way I can lose it no matter what I do. That was a delusion. I don't believe she was saved to begin with. And if she was, that certainly was a despicable way to thank God for giving his son for her. The delusion of this grace gospel. Of course, you can go the other side. Some people believe in legalism. You come dressed in a certain way, if you do all these certain things, if you obey these rules, if you don't do this, you don't do that, or you're going to lose that salvation. I don't believe in legalism either. You can't go. Only one way to go is through Jesus Christ. So some of the errors of Islam and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and a myriad of other religions that spring up, it seems, every day, show that these are damning errors when they are grasped, and then you enter into other falsehoods. If I really don't believe that you can have falsehoods in your faith in Jesus Christ and yet attain to eternal life. That's preaching another Jesus. So our prayer for them is that they would be delivered from these erroneous doctrines and come into the truth of Jesus Christ. There's only one Father, God, one God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, united as one God. Only one Savior, uncreated, eternal Son of God. So being that these religions present another Jesus than the biblical one, they also present another heaven. And if the heaven that they are going to doesn't have the Jesus that is in the Bible, I don't want to go to that heaven. I want to go to the heaven where Jesus Christ is. who died for my sins, that's where I want to go. So they present another Jesus and another way to get to this heaven. The Bible says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. So depend on that. That we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not that I am so knowledgeable. I'm presenting what the Bible said. Again, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this son, Jesus Christ, is the eternal son that is given, the word of God. That is who we present, and that is who we preach. I believe that when we're new or young in the faith, maybe you don't know all these things. You don't understand the Trinity as you will maybe 10 years down the road. And I can't say I have total understanding in all the mysteries of God, but I do understand that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, as affirmed by the Word of God. In the New Living Translation, 1 John 4:1 is translated this way. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. And so having said that, now I want to present the promises that Jesus brings. The Jesus who I am presenting is the eternal Son of God. He never began to be. He always has been. This is the Jesus that I present, who has eternally been with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And there are promises that are given to those that follow the true Jesus. Who wants eternal life with Jesus in heaven? I mean, I'm anticipating this. I'm anticipating leaving this world and standing before Christ Almighty. If you've missed, again, Sunday school, again, we're on such a wonderful truth that we've been going on for months. I thought we'd go through this real quick, but we're talking about the resurrection. And we had thoughts on the resurrection today that Michael presented that just lifted us out of our seats with anticipation, because being the fact that Christ rose from the dead, it makes everything else that he said true. So the heaven that Christ presents is the truth contained in the Word of God. Not only do I have heaven to look forward to, but I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in me because of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? That you have the Holy Spirit within you? I know it's hard to just say, well, where is he? In my foot? In my ear? I mean, where is he? He's in my heart. He's in my psyche. He's in all of me. The Holy Spirit dwells within me and guides me and leads me as I rest in him and depend on the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. Jesus said he would lead me into all truth. What a beautiful promise we have. And Jesus himself said, I will never leave nor forsake you. So Jesus is in us in the person of his Spirit. And I thank God for that. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit in us, but the Bible gives us the fruit of the Spirit of God. Love. The love of God. Joy. Peace. Patience. Gentleness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Imagine this. That this isn't the kind of love that I can muster up on my own. It's the love that God has shed forth to those that love him. I have joy in my heart even if days I felt miserable. The joy I have is knowing that Christ knows me and that he has revealed himself to me. Thank God that I have that joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Anybody ever go through any difficulties out there? But I tell you, you still can have joy because Christ loves you, died for you, coming again for you. The joy should abound in your heart, as we've preached many times. And the peace that passeth all understanding, thou shalt keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. In the midst of your most difficult times, you can have a peace that passeth all understanding because Christ is with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. What a joy to know that I have Christ not only in eternity, but with me here and now, to be with me and to go with me. Bible said he will not tempt me above that which I am able, but will the temptation make a way of escape. I escape into the arms of the beloved. And there I find rest and consolation in him and him alone. I thank God for that. So many gifts I have. You know, I have access to the Father through the name of Jesus Christ. When that curtain was rent asunder, when Christ gave his life on Calvary and the curtain was torn, there was access made into the Holy of Holies, into the very throne room of grace. And I can go boldly into that throne room. There I can find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Are you in need today? Go into the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. The way has been opened to you. What a joy to know it's been opened to me. The other thing I have, and I've preached this before, and I'm preaching, this is probably all old news to some of you, but every time I tell it, it leaps in my heart again and again. I have freedom from the fear of death. What I mean by that, when I stand before God, he's not going to give me a third degree. He's going to see Jesus stand beside me. I'm saying, I'm with him. He said, come on in. I'm with Jesus. What have you done with Jesus? What has he done for you? Hallelujah. Thank God. Not only he gives me all these blessings, but he gives me victory. He gives me victory over Satan. I know we paint Satan as a powerful entity, and that he is. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I resist him and he flees from me. One of the most powerful entities in creation, Satan, and I have the word in my mouth to send him fleeing, the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I resist him in the name of Jesus Christ, standing firm in the gospel, not afraid of Satan or his demons, because they are all under control of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's given me power to be able to stand against them. We have power over Satan, power over demons, power over sin. I can turn from sin. There's a sin that does easily beset and come upon you. But I'm telling you, when you take your stand and say, I am not going to turn to the flesh, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. The Bible gives you the promise that as you continue with your eyes on that straight and narrow path, walking in the Spirit of God, that the sin that does so easily beset you and would come after you will be shed from you like water off a duck's back. You're going to be able to stand strong, not only against sin, but against self, because our flesh rises up. Self would have the preeminence in everything we do, but we can put self down and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. How glorious is that? What promises we have in the real Jesus? Will the real Jesus stand up? He has already, and he's at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for me. Hallelujah. I am special. I am loved. Maybe I am preaching a feel-good sermon because I sure feel good. When I think about what Jesus did for me, I feel good. Like I knew I would. All right. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can feel good about what Christ has done. Thank God. Every other religion perverts the truth of Jesus Christ, and it's a works-based gospel. I don't know of any religion that presents God Almighty coming down and paying for their sins. Christianity, Jesus Christ is the only one that did that. He's the only one that could do that. I don't have to work or be good enough to get to heaven. I have to believe in Jesus. The good works I do are my thank you, my life, my essence in God. I've been called unto good works, which God has before ordained that I should walk in them, not to attain salvation, but to ever be grateful for the blood that was shed on Calvary for me to buy my salvation. If I had to work my way to heaven, if we have to work our way to heaven, then what was the reason for Christ dying? Why did he die on the cross? As a martyr? To show he was a tough guy and could hang out there all day? No, he died for your sins. He died for my sins. My sins have been forgiven because I've received what he has done for me. What a glorious gospel. The true gospel of Jesus, the only eternal Son begotten of the Father, is this, that he's come to die and pay the penalty of your sin. You can point at yourself. He paid for your sin and my sin. Risen again, that I might have life in him. Thank God, I have life in Jesus Christ, and that more abundantly the Bible promised me. The Holy Spirit has been given me, as we said. He's coming again to take me to himself, that where he is, there I may be also. This, then, is that whole gospel. This is the gospel by with which you are saved, wherein you stand. If you have not believed in vain, meaning that you have turned away from this to another faith, to another Jesus, but I've turned to Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have you done that? Have you listened to the truth of Jesus Christ, or are you listening to some other gospel, some perversion of Jesus Christ? If you have, I'm telling you, begin to get in the Word of God. Begin to trust the Lord that he will reveal to you the truth of who he is and what he's done for you as you follow the Scripture. I pray that God blesses you this day with a new revelation of Christ and a new joy in the promises of what Jesus has done for you. And don't be afraid to stand against a false religion and say, I will not follow that. I will not look into that, because the only word I am following is what's written in the Word of God, the Bible, on which I stand, who presents Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I pray God blesses you with the joy that he has promised you this day. And as you go to your homes, you go with the joy of Jesus Christ. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.